this is the fifth talk in our summer series on Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of heaven from the Gospel of Matthew. If you'd like to grab your pew Bibles, as some of you have already done so, and feel free to turn to page 931, which is Matthew chapter 15. Now, I didn't sleep very well last night, and when I'm tired, I can tend to speak very quickly. If at any point you think I'm rapping, please, as I said before, let me know and I will attempt to slow down. Because you guys in a couple of minutes might be thinking, please, let's get through this as quickly as possible. But, yeah, right. Now, the previous talks, I think this is the fifth talk in the series, were all parables Jesus told to a crowd of people by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. He's talking about his kingdom. So what have we learned thus far? The first week was the parable of wheat and weeds. We found that the kingdom of heaven is a kingdom of separated peoples. The week after that, it was a parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. And we saw that whilst the kingdom of heaven would start small, it would grow to encompass the world. The week after that, Tim spoke about the hidden treasure and the pearl. And the kingdom of heaven, though it will be hidden, though it is hidden, it is of massive value. It's of great value. And last week, Vince spoke about the parable of the fishing net. Similarly, another talk about the peoples being separated. But we also found out the kingdom of heaven would be a kingdom of the righteous. Now, could I have the first slide up, please? Now, since the first of parables will be Matthew chapter 13. And I'll just be recording, they're not going to hear this, they are. Right, the first bit was Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus would be telling parables to a group of people here, around the Sea of Galilee here. And Jesus made... Right, here. Man, look, who's this? Are you? Oh, man. No, what a bloody stick. Oh, what a bloody stick. I said this on last year. I always wanted to be a geography teacher. Right, so Jesus was telling the parable somewhere around here in the Sea of Galilee. That's Capernaum, which was his main base. Now, I say, in the first parable, he was talking to a massive crowd of people. Now, since then, Jesus and the disciples have gone for a long walk up to Caesarea Philippi, which is there. Now, Caesarea Philippi is where Jesus said the great thing of, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said that Peter did well to say that. He was given by the Holy Spirit to say that. So that happened then. And then somewhere between there and coming back to Galilee, there was the Transfiguration, where Jesus took Peter, James and John up a hill, and the Transfiguration happened there, where you can read about in Matthew chapter 17. We'll go Matthew 17. And anyway, so now they've walked back here to Caesarea, and some of what happens today takes place between there and when they get back into Caesarea, Capernaum, which was Jesus' base and hotel. So if you've turned to Matthew chapter 18, I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. I should say here, previously he was teaching a massive crowd of people. Today he was specifically teaching the disciples about the kingdom of heaven. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 5. At that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He, that is Jesus, called a little child whom he placed among them. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. Now, Matthew, who would have been there as one of the disciples, does miss out a pretty major fact when explaining what happened in this parable here. Sorry, I forgot to flash up the first one. Could you flash up Mark's passage there? And this is the fact that this, the way that Matthew seems to, we read it in Matthew, it seems to say that they were actually coming to ask Jesus' sage advice. But we actually see, could you flash up the next one in Mark, that actually this started because of an argument. So you can turn to it if you want, it's on page 957, but it is going to be projected up there. This is Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. They came to Capernaum. When he was at the house, he, that is Jesus, asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. He took a little child
whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." The disciples had been arguing about which one was the greatest, which one was the best. Now, we don't know what started this argument. It could have been, we don't know, it could have been that Peter, on two occasions, had been selected for special praise for Jesus. Once when at Caesarea Philippi, when he said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus praised Peter. It may have been because actually, during the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus only took three of the disciples there. We don't know why he only took three. But he only took three disciples. We don't know why they were arguing, but on the way back, they were arguing about which one was the greatest. The disciples were being childish. Their question here wasn't actually one of enlightenment. They'd been debating the most human of subjects. Which of us is the best? They were seeking Jesus' praise, singling out which was the greatest. And had it been otherwise, they would have been actually embarrassed to ask Jesus. Now, in case you're wondering what is not being humble, I've got a little DVD clip. Now, this is, when I spoke here last year, do you remember I spoke about boxing? Do you remember that? And I've got another boxing clip today. This is Muhammad Ali speaking in 1974 before his Rumble in the Jungle.
"It's befitting that I go out of boxing like I came here. Meet the big, strong bully that knocks everybody out, that everybody's afraid of. England can't produce nothing to beat George Foreman. Africa can't produce nothing to beat George Foreman. Japan, China, no country but old Muhammad Ali." See, realize 32 is not old for man that don't take a punishment. Sugar Ray was blasting at 32. Sugar Ray wasn't going nowhere at 32, looking good. Archie Moore was cruising at 32. Walcott won his title at 37. I'm great like them, or greater. Be at the theater, Allen, because this man I'm going to retire. If you think I whoop Sonny Liston, you wait till I get George Foreman. He talks too much, he's ugly, he's pretending I'm the true champion, and they make me the underdog. I'm going to show them all they're wrong, because I'm the champion. I'm the real champion. There'll never be one like me. And all you people in Britain who rank me as the greatest, I'm going to prove I'm the greatest. I'm going to prove to you I'm the greatest. We're going to prove to the world I'm the greatest. This is my last fight. I don't want none of you to miss it. So please, come to the theater. I'm going to eat some raw meat, and I'm going to train. I'm going to get ready and chop some little trees."
Do you know what? I've been waiting about 10 years to show that clip. Right, back to the passage. We see here from their argument, debating about which one was the greatest, the disciples didn't understand about the kingdom of heaven. They were still thinking in an earthly mindset. For those of you here who were here last week, Vince read the last verse of Matthew chapter 13, where after explaining, was it six parables about the kingdom of heaven, he says to the disciples, "Do you understand what I've told you?" And the disciples, yeah. And Vince said last week, we know through scripture, they didn't understand. They didn't understand until they met the risen Christ, or the Holy Spirit really was like, wow, this is truly what it's about. At this time, they were still thinking in human values, in earthly values of what greatness was. Humanly speaking, they wanted to be the top dog. They wanted to be the most worthy of thought, the most worthy of praise. They were insecure. They didn't realize what riches they would ultimately receive from the kingdom of heaven. In truth, they didn't receive. They didn't realize what actually the reality was that they were going to receive from Christ. In response to their arguing, Jesus calls over a little child and says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes a humble place, becoming like this child, is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me." So Jesus calls over a little child. Now, with pictures of Jesus with the children, it's quite easy for us to sort of get in a mindset of the pictures that we've seen loads of times, which are actually extremely unhelpful. It's easy to think of us this story as being somehow cute and sentimental. I'm sure we've all seen the pictures before. I remember, well, Vince spoke here before, he projected the kind of pictures you see of a very Scandinavian looking Jesus with a very cute, completely clean kids with blue eyes beaming up, just like we all know kids are. But imagining those kind of pictures you miss the metaphor that Jesus is actually trying to explain. Now, in our society, we value kids. We've all seen pictures before of MPs who've made silly mistakes and they want to grab the crowd and they get a kid and the old kiss the baby thing. In our society, we value children. In New Testament times, children were not valued. They were pretty much on the lowest rung of the ladder. Now, Jesus spoke in Aramaic, and the New Testament was written in Greek. And in both languages, the word for child and the word for servant were interchangeable. In Greek, I couldn't actually find it in Aramaic, even I looked for a while on the internet. But in Greek, the word that Jesus used is paideon, which means a child under training, but could also be used for servant. Jesus' central point here is that we should humble ourselves. We should become humble like a small child is humble. As I said, the disciples were still thinking in earthly ways about a heavenly kingdom. The rules are not the same. In fact, as we've seen the last few weeks, Jesus takes what earthly logic, how we think the world should be run, and completely turns it on its head. Now, one thing I thought was strange here is that Jesus doesn't actually appear to tell the disciples off. He's just talking to them plainly. Jesus does realise that at this point, whilst he's teaching them, they don't actually understand the realities about this kingdom. And yet Jesus' words at the same time are shocking. To the disciples who are bickering about which one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, unless you humble yourself, unless you guys here, full of bravado, bigging yourselves up, learn to serve others rather than wishing to have others serve you, you won't get into the kingdom at all. As I read the verse in Mark there, it says, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. Now, I think there are two reasons Jesus chose a child, and I think one of them very much was because of the way children were considered in that society. But equally, if Jesus had wanted to pick someone low in Jewish society or Roman society at that time, he could have found a servant, he could have found, probably, in truth, found a woman as well. But I think there's a reason, other reasons as well, why Jesus chose the child here. Because the child was humble. Because this child was trusting. Because children, in general, know their place. Not in a negative way. Because they are obedient, sometimes. Because no child has power in and of themselves, and a child is reliant on others. Jesus called this boy over, he came over promptly, did what he was told, and stayed there for as long as he was needed to stay there. This child was obedient, trusting, and faithful, whilst at the same time being surrounded by people who probably didn't respect him or value him. This is the kind of attitude that Jesus wanted then from his disciples, and wants from his disciples today too. As I said, the kingdom of heaven completely upturns earthly values. The rules of Christ's kingdom are completely different from the rules of the kingdom that we serve here. We saw Muhammad Ali's clip there. Humility really sort of comes into play when you see a clip like that there. And yet the idea of true greatness, being found to be humble, obedient, trusting others, to know your place, to rely on others, isn't the world's concept of greatness. In truth, the Muhammad Ali concept is pretty much close to the mark as far as the world sees it. Obviously, Muhammad Ali expanded it massively and took it to the nth degree. But that pretty much is how the world sees greatness. In one of the books I looked at to look at this talk today, I found this one quote here. Real greatness is not to be found in seeking to be praised and served by others, but in seeking others to serve, especially those who have no rights. As I said, the truth is, at this moment, the disciples simply didn't get it. And they wouldn't fully understand it until they had seen the risen Christ. Because people who have seen the risen Jesus act differently. The disciples were told to change. Christ told them they had to humble themselves. And humble themselves they did. After Christ's resurrection and ascension, full of the Holy Spirit, they were transformed from being these bickering, competitive wannabes into becoming servant-hearted church leaders. They'd been people like James and John, called the sons of thunder. Peter, who, as I mentioned here when I was speaking a month ago, I think is a legend, so human, and yet a man who, full of the Holy Spirit, helped transform, build, obviously with God, with the Spirit's help, but build the church throughout Europe. People like Simon and Zealot, I spoke about Simon last time as well, someone who joined, almost certainly joined Jesus because he wanted to be a revolutionary, wanted Jesus to be a revolutionary. Tradition simply tells us he became a man who was humbled and who, through God's power, through the Spirit's power, changed the world. It's astonishing to see the contrast between the disciples pre-resurrection and post-resurrection, before Christ died and after they met the risen Christ. I suppose the question then we have to ask this is, are we a humble people? We don't need to crave wealth, status or possessions, because God has given us the highest status there already is. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are children of God and we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Now, you may know I work in the media, and there are a number of people who you can tell how insecure they are, how they have to keep face all the time. And by doing so, they are really not nice people. Their desire to get somewhere, to prove that they are someone who in reality they're probably not, they're not nice people. But we don't need to keep face, because we are completely secure. We are known, we are accepted by Christ. We are secure in him. This is a good thing. We have security because we know who we are in Christ. So we don't have to be insecure, grabbing. We don't have to desire to be the greatest, because as Christians, we have all we need in Christ. We should ask God to keep moulding our hearts and minds, to continue to transform the human logic which can ensnare us, to open our eyes, to change us, so that we can conform to heaven's logic and God's rules. We must submit to God by humbling ourselves. So we must humble ourselves. We should follow the disciples' example. Most importantly, we must follow Christ's example. We should be humble because Christ was humble. And I'm just going to finish now just by reading this directly from, you don't have to turn to it, you're welcome to later, but it's Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.